Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 498 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger and being joined this week by both Chad Smart and John Cena. You just can't see John and you can't hear him either. That's a little bit of a pun because we are talking Movie Mania this week and it is all about Ricky Stanicky. Chad, how are things going? It's been a bit.
It has. And yeah, after that opening, I think I should have taken another week off. So, yeah, no, it's good to be back here. I've missed talking wrestling, although I guess we're not really talking wrestling much this week, but, I just want to say, you know, last weekend, as we record this last weekend, I was in Vegas for AEW's Double or Nothing. I got to see Jack Perry set on fire. So that is the epitome of pro wrestling. And, unfortunately, I tried giving Ref Aubrey your phone number, but she just kept ignoring me. So,
oh man, maybe next time.
Maybe.
Well, you know, we'll get into our Movie Mania here in a minute, but let's talk a little bit about AEW. You were there, obviously, as you said. Now, I haven't really heard a whole lot of reviews from you specifically, but what'd you think? Did you enjoy the show? MJF, of course, made his triumphant return. And they saw a little bit of a spike in ratings on Dynamite this past week. So we'll see if that trend continues now that MJF is back. Mercedes Moné made her in-ring wrestling debut for AEW. So give me your thoughts.
No, I enjoyed it. We had a good time. We, I talked my girlfriend into going with me. So she will probably say she did not enjoy it, but I think she had a good time. She was kind of getting into it and enjoying the people watching around us. But no, we were right on the rampway as on the left-hand side of the ramp, about halfway down. So, you know, I got to scissor with the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass did not come over. Unfortunately, I was going to try to, you know, see if he remembered old times of us. See if he remembered you because your buddy Pac was on the show, but in a losing effort. I enjoy AEW. I think it was a good show. Obviously, the standard complaint that I have with most AEW pay-per-views is they're too long. This one went about 40 minutes longer than I was expecting. So I think they could have easily cut three matches off the show, moved them to Dynamite, and had a better flow. But yeah, the MJF return was a surprise. And I mean, the good part is he beat up Adam Cole. The bad part is I had to listen to Adam Cole for about 5 minutes before MJF came out. Hopefully he put Adam Cole back on the shelf. And I think, you know, looking at AEW over the last 6 months, I think one of the things that has hurt them the most is the fact that they had been building this devil storyline, which was Adam Cole turning on MJF, but then Adam Cole gets injured. MJF is injured as well. So there was no payoff to that. It just kind of dropped and they never mentioned it. So they kind of wrapped that storyline up. And with MJF coming back, hopefully it will be more return to, classic AEW. I'm curious where MJF will fit in now with, you know, being in the title picture, or if he'll have, it looks like Roosh will be his first feud coming up. But, you know, overall, I mean, the matches were great. It's unfortunate that Adam Copeland broke his leg doing a stupid jump off the top of the cage.
Oh, I didn't realize he broke his leg. Okay, wow.
Yeah. Broke his tibia, I guess. Tibia. Tilapia.
Wow. Sounds like the ambulance is coming to get him.
Yeah. And I mean, his jump, he kind of, instead of doing more of a splash, he kind of came straight down, which probably not wise for someone at his age. I say that as someone as his age. I wouldn't even jump off, the bottom rope. Less a 20-foot cage.
Yeah.
At least he didn't pull a Sid, so that was good.
Oh, God.
But yeah, and then, the Anarchy in the Arena match, which was a match all over the arena, which led to Jack Perry being set on fire, which I found interesting because the week before, Darby Allin had come out with a flamethrower, and a lot of complaints online that I saw were, well, it's stupid that he comes out with a flamethrower because he's not going to use it. Well, just have to wait a week and you realize that yes, he is going to use the flamethrower and is it wrestling? No. Was it entertaining? Yes.
Okay, but you never found the Bray Wyatt getting you. I remember specifically you complaining about Bray Wyatt getting burned, but because it happens on Tony Khan's dime, you're
no, all, no.
Dad, come on.
No, because Bray Wyatt got burned and killed and laid in the ring. Whereas Jack Perry gets burned, they immediately come out with flamethrowers.
The match. The guy suffers third degree.
I will say, yes, he probably should not have won the match. He should have been taken out, but at least he wasn't left for dead in the middle of the ring and then comes back a week later. So
I want to ask you too about the whole audience vibe though, because you talked about, it being a long show and I go back to WrestleMania 32, which to me was painfully long in Dallas.
And horrible, yes.
Yeah, and by the end of the night, we were like done. We were done before the end of the night. But talk to me a little bit about, because we've been to WrestleMania, we've been to the two-night WrestleManias now. Mm. You've been to a couple of AEW pay-per-views, I think, right?
This is my second, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. So what's the audience vibe like? Because we talked before about walking into, for example, SoFi and the experience and that vibe. Is it a different vibe? Because you have been to Dynamite as well and
Collision.
So talk to me a little bit about the difference between, or is there a difference? Is it just that wrestling vibe?
It's the wrestling vibe. This one was interesting because it's in a casino theater. So as we're walking through the casino, you see, and we got there before doors opened because we wanted to get something to eat. And there were people apparently lined up for a couple of hours ahead of time to get in. And I think part of that is if you want merchandise at an AEW show, you get there early because they don't have very many merch stands.
Oh.
I think there may have only been one merch stand in this place due to the way the arena is set up. And so, it was cool walking through the arena or walking through the casino because we're walking by the slot machines and I hear this woman say, I didn't want to bother you. And I turn back and she's talking to Brody King, and who apparently was just, hours before the show out there playing slots. And then as we're walking by, Top Flight comes walking in with their gear. And after the show, even when we're just killing time waiting to get a taxi, Wardlow comes walking through, so it was more of a interesting aspect in that regard. But once you walk into the arena and get into the crowd, the crowd was hyped. I always say, no matter where I sit, I'm going to be sitting next to that guy who there was a guy that was in front of us who I don't think shut up the entire time, the entire show. And it's funny, at one point when Mercedes and Willow were having their, or I'm sorry, when Toni Storm and Serena were having their match towards the last half of the match, she's like, oh man, this match is really good. It's really great. And my girlfriend's like, it's always been great. You've been talking too much to. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. But there were a couple guys, and there was a guy that was in front of us who had an awesome demolition tattoo that I wish I could have got a photo of to show you, since I know you're still looking for your inspiration for your first. but these guys were just, into it and talking and it was a great vibe. There were points during the show where the crowd was kind of maybe taking a break because, again, the problem with AEW, I say problem, it's a double-edged sword. because, you know, I've talked to you that WWE pay-per-views have too much filler on them. And so, you know, it'll be like 20 minutes between matches.
Right.
And AEW is just like, no, we're going to, you know, nothing gets time to breathe. It's just like, okay, this happened. Now we're right on to the next match. Like when Chris Statlander turned on Willow after their match, then it's like, okay, get the next match going. And it's like, well, give us time to process things. But yeah, no, the crowd was hyped. I think, you know, the Mercedes Willow match had probably one of the best crowd reactions, and it seemed to be about 75-35 split for Willow, which was interesting because you figure, you know, Sasha, the former Sasha Banks coming in, she's going to be the big star. But, you know, I think they're, we've also discussed in the past how AEW fans are more, I don't want to necessarily say not WWE fans, but they don't want to see necessarily the ex-WWE stars coming in and taking the spots from, you know, the AEW homegrown talent or the people that have been there. So, and I think they've done a good job of building Willow up over the last 6 months to a year to make her a top baby face in the company. And so that was interesting. And yeah, I mean, during the Anarchy match, you know, it's just all types of crazy. And again, we were sitting in a section where, we had guys yelling random stuff, getting, you know, they got a Kmart suit chant going for Don Callis. And when Christian came out, they got a Deadbeat Dad chant going. Just these random things that made the show a little bit more interesting. And it wasn't obnoxious, like, you know, you and I have been, I think back to WrestleMania 27, you know, the guy like, oh, I got kicked out of the Hall of Fame last night, calling all the diva sluts. And it's like, oh, you're cool, dude. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was fun without being obnoxious, I will say.
What's your takeaway on MJF when it comes to, because when he lost the belt to Samoa Joe, I think it was at the end of
December,
23.
Yeah.
Immediately the rumors start, you know, he's going to WWE, he's going to be in the Royal Rumble, he's going to be at WrestleMania, he's going to show up on night two at this time, you know, and fans were just fantasy booking, obviously. But I think what kind of also fueled those flames was the fact that they took MJF off of their website, you know, and instead of, like you said, maybe keeping the interest in that story going. But I guess if they didn't know for sure when he was coming back, but then they made it feel like he was maybe not going to come back, and then he comes back and it's a bigger surprise. Do you think keeping that story alive with, because Cole's legitimately injured too, right?
He's not.
Yeah. But has he been on the product since that?
He was on a couple weeks ago, or I think at the end of last month's pay-per-view, or after Roderick Strong won the title. I believe he came out in the wheelchair and stood up and made it look like he was, you know, healthy again. And I think that's a bigger problem, you know, an issue too, is that you have this group, the Undisputed Kingdom, set up with Cole, Roderick Strong, Wardlow, Taven, and Bennett, and they haven't really done anything since, you know, in this year, which, you know, that's fine by me because they should be relegated to Ring of Honor, in my opinion, so I never have to watch them. But I think that, you know, that has been a big issue, you know, with MJF coming back. Is he AEW's biggest homegrown star? You know, is he bigger than Darby and Jungle Boy or Jack Perry, or, you know, I don't know. I would say probably so. I think him coming out in a Triple H-esque leather and denim jacket was an interesting choice, and I don't know how many people picked up on that.
Twitter did.
Yeah, because it's like when Triple H came back in 2002, that's what he started wearing. And so I'm like, is it done as a homage, or is it done as a tongue-in-cheek, you know, trying to work the marks?
Right. I think that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, again, we'll see. I mean, you could have a great debut, but you got to follow it up. So,
well, and speaking on that end as well, get your quick thoughts on Ethan Page showing up at NXT, which was a surprise to me. I was not expecting that, but I think to me, the even bigger surprise was Jordan Grace showing up. And apparently there's going to be a collaborative effort between WWE and TNA and maybe some other companies. You know, obviously, I would say TNA will stand to benefit more than WWE, but I think it's also going to create some new opportunities and new matchups. We saw Jordan at the Royal Rumble this past year, which was a surprise. And when her music hit the other night on NXT, I was legit surprised. And you know, of course, we watch some of those wrestling streamers and YouTubers and stuff who, I don't know if it's part of their shtick to be over the top. They get more views than I do. So maybe we need to start doing stuff like that. But, you know, obnoxiously reacting, you know, it was a surprise, but I was not going to stand up and scream, holy shit, you know, knock my computer over in a mad rush. So I think there's definitely a little bit of acting going on with those guys. But what are your thothoughts? Do you know, does WWE, I mean, they're a rich talent pool already, but do they need to reach out to other companies, or will this end up ultimately hurting the business?
I think it's when a lot of TV shows do something, people will say, The Simpsons did it first. Or, you know, if something happens in real life, people say, The Simpsons did it first because The Simpsons did it. As far as working with TNA, AEW did it first. You know, Christian was the TNA champion or the Impact champion on AEW television. So I can be snarky and be like, it's WWE trying to be like AEW. But in all seriousness, it's an interesting concept. I'm curious to see how much crossover there will be and who will be involved. Hopefully we can get guys like Nick Namath and Mustafa Ali into the NXT zone. I think those guys could be a real big shot in WWE if they were given a chance. But now I think it's going to help TNA more than, you know, I don't see TNA people showing up on the main roster. I don't see them showing up in Raw or SmackDown. I think it will be just an NXT thing. And, you know, one of the interesting aspects is I can't think of his name, but there's a guy in NXT, his name's Wes Lee, and he was part of the MSK, Must See Kids, with another wrestler who was released from WWE, who's now back in TNA. They were the Rascals, and they were in TNA. So I'm curious if they'll, you know, acknowledge that relationship or not. I'm curious. We'll see. I don't know how long is the agreement going to last? Is it going to be a short-term thing, or is it going to be till, you know, through next year? Because a lot of speculation I've seen online is a lot of people want Joe Hendry to show up in the Royal Rumble. If we were in, you know, October, November, I could say like, okay, maybe that's an option, but Royal Rumble being 7-8 months away, I don't know, you know, if this will still be going on by then, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I think anytime wrestling companies work together, it's a good thing. And, you know, we'll see.
So you don't count Ric Flair and Christian, the trade back in 2012, as working together?
No, because didn't Christian just show up one time? Or
no, he went and wrestled for TNA,
but for one show, right? It was like a one-off.
No, Christian go to TNA to? Didn't they trade Ric Flair and Christian for the Hall of Fame or something? And then Christian stayed or something.
Christian had gone to,
or was he back in WWE by then?
I think he was back in WWE by then, and he just showed up for like Bound for Glory or
he was okay because he had already won the heavyweight title.
And I do think wrestling promotions should be able to trade people back and forth, and that would be awesome.
What do you think the odds are that AEW and WWE ever do any sort of collaborative thing like this?
I would say in the next 2 to 3 years, probably very slim. In the next 5 to 10, who knows? You know, it'll be interesting to see where wrestling goes and what is going on. You know, what are the odds that one buys the other company within 15 years? know, if now that, you know, because since WWE has already been sold,
right,
and it's owned not by a family conglomerate anymore.
Yeah.
If it's a, you know, if business goes on the downturn and they want to get out. I was going to say, what do you think Jordynne Grace will win the NXT title?
You know, I was going to ask you that too. I would think not, but man, would that be an interesting thing if it did? Mm-hmm. And since they are, you know, working more collaboratively, because I can remember back in the early 90s, some of the WWE guys or WWF guys then mm-hmm. going to USWA. I don't remember them coming onto WWE TV though. Mm-hmm. It was WWE guys going on USWA TV, yeah. Outside of Jerry Lawler, of course. But, you know, Coco Beware and Kamala, I remember them going to USWA and winning the heavyweight title down there, but that was never on WWE TV. So this will be interesting right. to see what they do. And, you know, I think we're past the phase of, you know, back in the day when Vince was accused of, and in some cases probably rightfully so, but, you know, guys coming in from other promotions and beating his talent, you know, would have never happened. Mm-hmm. You look at, you know, countless examples, except when Ric Flair goes in and wins the Royal Rumble. But, you know, I think if Vince were still there and this deal were going on, you know, they'd humiliate Jordynne Grace and have her lose in, you know, 45 seconds. But
yeah,
I think it's a definite possibility because Jordynne Grace also, and this isn't a diss to anyone, it's going to come off like that, but she looks like a legitimate wrestler. You know what I mean? You know, mm-hmm. we've talked about this before too. You know, if it were somebody that was, you know, a woman coming in that's maybe, you know, I'll say Liv Morgan, for example. To me, Liv Morgan is talented, but she does not look the part, if that makes sense. Like, when Rhea Ripley inevitably comes back and we have that feud, I would think that Rhea's going to eat her lunch, but maybe not. I don't know. And am I burying myself here? Am I digging myself?
No, I get you. Because, you know, I saw the same sort of comments about Mercedes mm-hmm. Monet. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. she just looks, she doesn't look intimidating enough. And it's, you know, same way with, as we've said, I've said many times, Adam Cole. Adam Cole, and I'm going to keep burying Adam Cole on this show the entire time until he responds and I get a cease and desist letter. But Adam Cole does not look like a wrestler. So if he showed up in NXT, you know, forget that he's already been in NXT.
Right, but let's say,
you know, if AEW and WWE had a relationship and he showed up and took out Trick Williams, you know, I believe Trick is the current champion.
Yeah.
You know, I would be like, why did this fan jump in the ring and security not get to him? You know,
yeah.
So I see your point. I was going to say, you know, AEW's next show coming up is Forbidden Door, which they started last year, year before.
I think it was 2 years.
2 years ago, where they had the working relationship with New Japan and they bring in New Japan talent. This year, they're going to have some CMLL talent. Do you think that the success of those partnerships and the fan reaction to seeing other guys coming in, do you think that has played a part in WWE being willing to work with other promotions and realizing that fans are aware that there are promotions outside the WWE?
I mean, honestly, I think it all goes back to Vince McMahon. I think him being gone, mm-hmm. I don't think that Triple H or Bruce Pritchard or whomever else is kind of at the helm necessarily ignored the fact that there was competition. I mean, you know, back in the day, I can remember Harley Race and Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes showing up in WWE, and it was almost treated as if these were all
newcomers,
you know, and Harley Race is 42 or 43 years old. He's clearly not a rookie, but
Harley Race was 25. He just always looked like he was 50.
So,
like Arn Anderson.
You know, yeah, exactly. But I think that more than anything, it was the guy in charge. It was that audience of one that they were always answering mm-hmm. to, and right or wrong, that's the way it was. And it did make him a billionaire along the way, but I think that, obviously, you know, Triple H can't do everything he wants to do. I think there's a protocol now that it is a more corporate, you know, it's more corporate now than it was before with TKO and all of that being involved in it. So I think that, yeah, we'll see more of that. But I also won't be surprised if we see some UFC crossover as well. You know, we see WWE talent at UFC shows watching. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, a few more of the UFC, some of the more, because I think some of those guys are just there to kick ass and not be entertaining. So I think that we could see crossover in that regard as well. And I, you know, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
I got four words for you. Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey match. That's five words.
Oh boy. Weren't they a tag team at one point?
They were a tag team. Then they,
Shayna turned on her.
Yeah. And then they had a UFC style match, which is regarded as one of the worst matches of last year.
Oh God. I don't even remember that.
So. Yeah. That's how good it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think, you know, and there is a show out here in LA, either Thursday, I think it was Thursday night. It was a promotion I've never heard of that was streaming on Twitch, but I think it was a Japanese promotion making a, and apparently Nick Khan was there, you know, who's the head guy, top guy in WWE, you know, not Tony Khan. He was off doing something else, but Nick Khan was there. So, you know, and Nick Khan was at, has been at Bloodsport over WrestleMania weekend, which is another, which a couple of WWE wrestlers, I believe Shayna Baszler may have been one of them, was on the Bloodsport show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. You know, so I think it's a, we're in an interesting time of understanding that yes, there's competition, but it's not, you know, I don't know. I would say, you know, it's going to be a weird analogy maybe, but if we can have wrestling promotions being crossed over, I think we can also have Coke and Pepsi in the same restaurants and venue. So hopefully that will be the, maybe that will, this will start that procedure to, you know, this change in society.
There you go. I like it. Well, we're almost 30 minutes in. We are here to talk a little movie mania as well. Chad, always good getting insight from you and your perspective, especially being at, All In or what
Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Double or Nothing. And I called it All In last week on the podcast. And I also introduced last week's podcast as episode 297 instead of 497. So I was having an off week. But yeah, we're back on track this week and talking about a film called Ricky Stenicki. And it is streaming on Netflix.
Prime, Amazon. Netflix.
Oh, is it Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. My bad. I thought it was Netflix. Oh, yeah. Here it is on Amazon. So. Chad, this is probably the third or fourth John Cena film that we have reviewed on the podcast, The Marine being the first. Then we did Vacation Friends. We need to watch Vacation Friends 2 at some
point. We do not.
Give me your overall impression. I watched Ricky Stenicki when it first dropped about a month or so ago. It is rated R. It's almost 2 hours long. You know, it got a 6.2 IMDb rating out of 10. I have a feeling yours is going to be lower than that. But give me your overall thoughts. Zac Efron, who played Kevin Von Erich in the Iron Claw, is, I guess, the most noticeable or notable actor in this film outside of John Cena. So give me some thoughts here. What do you think?
Well, you know. Well, first, let's say it was directed by Peter Farrelly. I think it's Farrelly, who is one half of the Farrelly brothers, who were big in the 90s with Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, Something About Mary. And so, and he, I believe he, Peter, is the one who won an Oscar for directing Green Book, which is totally not. Yes. His brother, Bobby, did the movie Champions with Woody Harrelson last year, which I highly recommend. That one was very surprising to me, how much I enjoyed that. But yeah, Ricky Stenicki, you know, when I saw the trailer, when I read about it, I was expecting just lowbrow, you know, stuff that, again, 30 years ago, probably would have laughed at. But as a 20-something-year-old now, as just turning 50, I'm like too mature for that. I need highbrow entertainment. And I will say, you know, it wasn't, I mean, there are some a little some moments, I mean, especially like John Cena's whole rock and roll performances. little, you know, but overall, this movie was not as lowbrow as I expected it to be,
yeah,
which I think was a good thing.
Right. I agree. I thought the same thing. And for the, we're not going to give you any spoilers, but based the premise is, what is it? Three friends. They
created a fake friend. Yeah.
Yeah. They cause trouble as youth, create a fake friend to blame everything on. And then this carries over into adulthood and into their wives and children and all that good stuff. So they are then desperate to find a real Ricky Stenicki or find Ricky Stenicki. Mm-hmm. I thought when I saw the trailer originally, I thought maybe John Cena's was really Ricky Stenicki, like his actual name was Ricky Stenicki. And so they just paid him to come along and play along. But anyway, that's not the case. And, you know, hilarity ensues. And I think John Cena, and I have not seen, you know, his more, I don't know that he's been in a quote unquote serious role, but I have not seen like, he's Peacemaker. Right. And I haven't seen any of that. I haven't seen him in Fast and Furious. I think he's in Bumblebee. He's an action star, but he's all, to me, he's got some chops as a comedic actor as well. I thought this was a fun film, and you know, I don't think it's too far off from the John Cena that we see or we saw on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown back in the day.
Yeah, well, first I would recommend anybody who hasn't watched Peacemaker to watch it, because that is probably one of the best superhero properties out there.
Okay.
And I say that as someone who's not a big fan of James Gunn, the director and writer, because I still want my $6 back for Scooby-Doo. And I don't know, James Gunn's from St. Louis. Maybe you'll run into him at some point.
Oh.
You can.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Anyway, totally off topic. John Cena, you know, one thing I like about Cena is he doesn't seem to care about being the butt of the joke or showing ass, right, if you will, you know, because there's some stuff in this movie where you're like, yeah, I don't know if The Rock would have or Batista would have done that, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of that, playing off of showing some ass, the Academy Awards, when it comes out seemingly naked, and people were like, oh, this is humiliating, and they're initiating. And he was like,
the Illuminati initiation.
Yeah, the Illuminati stuff. And he was like totally down with it and cool with it and, you know, ready
to go.
So
I remember, you know, I had a DVD, and I don't know if you still have it or if you've given it away, but there's in the early 2000s, WWE put out a couple of Before They Were Stars DVDs, and one of them was a featured Cena. And it showed him, you know, his life. And I remember, because this has been seared into my brain because it's something I never wanted to see, it's like he's standing talking and then he walks away and he's just wearing a thong. And so, you know, it's like, so yeah, I guess he's comfortable with that, you know, and I never watched Total Bellas, which I guess showed him as more of a robotic type character or, you know, with his set rules of life. I don't know, but yeah, no, I think Cena, you know, one of the things that, like when The Rock first started, he did, you know, Tooth Fairy and trying to think of something else, you know, something a little comedic, but he's kind of gone more action oriented his career. I've always said, you know, I think Steve Austin made the mistake of never going true comedy, although he is in Grown Ups 2. I think he would have been better suited to play against type and do the comedic stuff instead of just the generic action films. And so I think in that regard, you know, I think Batista's probably had the best career in terms of quality.
Yeah.
But I think Cena has the potential to be, you know, I don't know if necessarily a breakout star, but to be a well-rounded actor, I would say.
You know, and let's talk a little bit about that too, because, you know, in the 80s, we had Jesse Ventura, we had Hulk Hogan, and we had Rowdy Piper, who were probably when I think of wrestlers turned actor in the 80s, those three, I think, are arguably the ones that people most talk about. Hulk Hogan, I think, as much as he wanted to become really, truly Hollywood Hulk Hogan, it never worked for him because I think partly because of his look. You know, he, John Cena, you know, can put on a suit and put on an action hero costume or run around, you know, dressed like Britney Spears or whatever, and you can buy into it, you know. Rock and Batista the same, and I will admit, other than the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, I have not seen anything else Batista has done, but I've heard great things about him. You know, Kevin Nash has made the transition, Steve Austin, like you brought up, but I think Steve Austin, you're 100% right. If he would have leaned a bit more into the comedic stuff, which we saw he could do in ECW and then even in WWE when he was doing the stuff with Kurt Angle and Vince McMahon, it could have definitely worked. But, you know, Hogan, for whatever reason, it just didn't translate. Jesse Ventura, I think it did to an extent. And then Piper, kind of the same thing. I think that all three of those guys didn't necessarily, and I know Hogan did Mr. Nanny and Santa with Muscles, but I think Piper could have been a great comedic actor, but I think he wanted that badass action hero from They Live and some of the
Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yeah, I was trying to think of it. I knew it was Frogtown. I couldn't remember the first part of it. But yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the 80s were a different time, and where it was more of the action star decade, you know, because you had Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme. And I think, you know, I don't think Hogan could have fit into that genre. Again, I think, like you said, his look just I think when you look at him, you see Hulk Hogan, you know, and it just wasn't going to translate. And then the movie, the products that he did weren't good, you know, they were just one step above direct-to-video releases. And Jesse, you know, the only thing I could think of him being in was The Running Man and Predator. So he was more of a sidekick.
Yeah.
Supporting character. You know, I don't think he had any leading role. And I don't know if he had the leading role chops.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he was a fine secondary character. And Piper, I think, same thing. Like, he was good in They Live. And, you know, I would have liked to see him do more comedy, because I think he could have done it well. But I don't know if there is, you know, the ego aspect of, well, I'm a professional wrestler, so I have to be shown, you know, kicking ass. I can't, again, as I said with John Cena, I can't show ass because that would, you know, go against my character. And I think any actor that goes into it in those regards, it's always going to limit themselves, because, and I, you know, I don't know if fans will get tired of that persona, and especially now in today's, you know, society, of the action star not really being as in favor, I guess. I know what I'm trying to say, and I don't know how to say it. It's just, what, you know, times have changed. We've talked about it before in the show, and sure. You know, I was doing my show. Times have changed. You can't get away with the I don't know, the stoic, sexist, macho character. So now you have to be more vulnerable, and even Batista has shown that. You know, I mean, this hulking mass of a guy. You know, the Guardians movies, he plays a guy who isn't an idiot, but doesn't get sarcasm, you know? Yeah. So he's the butt of the joke sometimes. And, and if you see Knives Out, to Glass Onion, like, you know, he's kind of a caricature of what you expect that a person like him to be. So, going back, Hogan and Ventura and Piper, I just don't think the time frame that they were in lent itself to them being taken seriously outside of wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I would also, I guess not argue, but bring up that I do think that the before mentioned 80 stars versus the above mentioned current stars or, you know, more modern stars, you know, the modern guys have them beat as far as the ability to be a viable character. You know, I couldn't see Hulk Hogan playing in that Ricky Stenicki role, at least, you know, the 80s version of Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Hogan's, I think part of it too, the whole look, and whether Hulk should have shaved his head and done the Austin and Batista and Rock route where, you know, they were all losing their hair and they've shaved their heads. And I don't know if that plays a factor into it or not, but I just, yeah, I can't see them breaking that wrestler. I'm a wrestler acting in a movie stereotype versus where I do see Cena. Sometimes that still kind of comes through it. Yeah, this guy's a wrestler in a movie, but he's done a lot to change that kind of stereotype, I guess, or that, being pigeonholed or typecasted as a wrestler, you know, instead of them saying in Hollywood, you know, we're doing a movie where we need a wrestler to be in this role. It's more of, we're just looking for someone for this part. And those guys have filled it well.
Do you think it also, because the current day wrestlers are more actor-y, I'll say, where, you know, I know Miz takes acting lessons.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know, but I would guess Cena has probably done the same thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they, and the character development is more focused on in development. You know, down in NXT, they have promo class and character, you know, situation. Whereas for the 80s guys, it was just go out there and do your job, you know.
Yeah.
And you, if you work on the character, you do it alone and, you know, in your hotel room. So,
yeah, that's a good point. And I think that, you know, as much as I just kind of probably sounded like I was criticizing Hogan and Piper and Ventura, I also applaud them because they open that door and those opportunities. I mean, Hulk Hogan, I think the whole reason Hogan, not the whole reason, but I think that Hogan being in Rocky III, you know, the story, the old story goes that Vincent J. McMahon didn't want Hogan to do that movie. And I think had let him go and Vern Gagne let him do the movie. And then Vincent Kennedy McMahon saw this as a golden opportunity and leaned into it. So yeah, I think that there's a that mentality and letting Hogan do that. And again, No Holds Barred is when No Holds Barred is the best movie that you have on your resume, it's probably a little suspect of your acting chops.
And again, and I think just quality of film too, because I think, you know, Hogan was going for the family friendly films. They wanted, because he was, you know, the all-American guy that has to save the day, has to be the good guy.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, could he have played against type and been the bad guy? And, I mean, obviously we got that with the NWO Hollywood Hogan, but then we got Three Ninjas Escape from Magic Mountain or whatever it is. And, anyway, back to Ricky Stenicki.
Well, you know, it's funny too, because I had a coworker and I posted this on social media last week, but they had come into my office and said, do you know who John Cena is? And, you know, they know that I'm a wrestling fan. So that's why I think she came in and asked me that. And I just happened to be wearing my John Cena socks that day. But it's like, I do feel like there are more wrestlers who are making that crossover to pop culture that people recognize them. Maybe they know, oh yeah, he used to wrestle, but now he's in Peacemaker or he's in the Hefty Bag commercials or, you know, I don't know.
He's the voice of the elephant in the pistachio nut commercials.
Yeah. I don't know how many people ran to Amazon Prime to watch Ricky Stenicki necessarily that aren't wrestling fans. But, you know, again, I thought that it was a solid film and the other actors in it, I thought were, you know, did a good job as well. And
yeah, Sami Zayn was great.
I was going to say, you sent me that shot. It said Sami Zayn. And I've seen that guy in other stuff, but I couldn't, you know.
I looked him up. I didn't recognize anything he'd been in, but yeah. No, but there are two people who I did not recognize. Well, first, I want to say William H. Macy's in the film. Talented, you know, legend. Anything with him is going to be good. But there were two actresses who I did not recognize until I looked them up. One of them, I recognized the name in the credits after I saw it. And I didn't notice it. I didn't pay attention to the beginning credits if she was in. But the wife that gave birth, did you recognize her? Susan, I think her name is.
I can't remember.
She's the lead actress from Loudermilk.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Which I actually recognized her from is Big Sky. Oh. She was on Big Sky as the did you watch Big Sky?
I think I watched the first episode and then tuned out.
Well, I think she comes up a couple episodes into it. But yes, I did. I can't remember her name either, but I did recognize her. I always, though, recognized her from Big Sky before Loudermilk because I watched Big Sky first. Yeah.
And then William H. Macy's wife. This will be a big throwback if you recognize. I recognize the name, but didn't recognize the face.
Who was it?
She played. Her name is Jane Badler, I believe. Mm-hmm. She played Diana, the lead alien in V.
Oh, I did watch V, so I wouldn't.
What?
I know.
Were you not an 80s kid?
I was, but I mean, I saw.
Too scary for you?
I wasn't Smurfy enough. hello, little dog. I've got a dog breaking in on this podcast. But yeah, I would not have recognized her. Buddy, why don't you go on out? That's interesting. I did not recognize her, so.
Yeah, and I didn't realize she'd been acting since the 80s. I just thought V is over, and I haven't seen her since, but... Yeah, so that was a good throwback. And again, it made me want to go back and watch parts of the movie again just to pay attention to those actresses. But other than that, I guess the other one is, did you recognize at the big henchman bald guy that is trying to get to John Cena's character?
Yes, it was someone that I should. Again, I should have rewatched this before we recorded because I knew I was going to sit here and struggle to remember little details about the film.
It's Nathan Jones.
Summer. Who is it?
Nathan Jones.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, that guy is familiar. Yes. Yes. So good to see he's doing something, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a while since we've done a Movie Mania and I don't even remember our ranking system.
I think it was Curtain Jerker, Mid Card, Main Event, or Indie Show.
So what'd you think? What did you think of Ricky Stenicki?
I think I'd go Mid Card because, like, again, it wasn't what I was expecting, which pleasantly a surprise. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not... I don't think I'm going to go back and rewatch it unless I fall asleep again watching it. It was fine. You know, Zac Efron was good. I know I'm not a huge Zac Efron fan. I mean, Iron Claw, you know, he's good in that too. But I just, you know, it's an interesting concept. I don't think there, and I've said, you know, way too much in this episode, but there's a, lots of things that reading about this movie as well. Apparently it's taken like 15 years to get made. And it has, I think, like 7 different writers attributed to it, but because through the process of different actors being attached, they've changed aspects of it and made it. So I think, you know, anytime you go over 3 writers, you're just, you know, you're not getting a solid script, in my opinion. And so I think that showed in this case, but yeah, it's fine. I mean, I would recommend it if you've got 2 hours to kill. Although again, I think it could have been a 90 minute film, but yeah, I think Cena did a good job. The supporting cast is good. Other than don't know, maybe the unbelievability of
of the fact, you know, spend.
Yeah. But no, I was pleasantly surprised. Like I did not, I went into it kind of fearing like, I'm going to hate this, but yeah, good surprise.
Do you think that the talent, you know, of not just WWE, I know that Roman Reigns is currently doing a film. I'm sure there are, or will be some, AEW talent and other talent, you know, Nick Nemeth has expressed interest in doing things outside of wrestling. Do you think we'll see a time where we get wrestlers, multiple wrestlers, men and women, because we really haven't seen that female breakout star yet either, I think, on the big screen. But will we see a time where it's a wrestling casted film about a non-wrestling topic, if that makes sense? So we insert a bunch of other actors and actresses into the Ricky Sinicky film that maybe weren't or that were our former or current wrestlers. Can we see a movie with like that? Would it work? Would fans buy in? Movie fans, not wrestling fans, of course. I think wrestling fans would watch.
Yeah, you know, it's going to depend on the studio, who's financing it, who's making it, because you know, if it's a WWE film, I don't think people will give it the credit, you know, because they'll be like, oh, WWE, of course it's going to be WWE. But I think, you know, I'm trying to think, because I don't think The Rock was in the Fast and Furious movies that John Cena is in.
No, I don't think so.
So we didn't get that crossover or that collaboration. You know, I'd be curious if we ever see a Rock and Batista or Batista and Cena, you know, movie. You know, you mentioned Roman Reigns doing a film. I think Roman, and hopefully he'll prove me wrong, but I think Roman goes back to what we were discussing about Hogan and Pike. I don't know if Roman cannot be Roman Reigns.
I agree. That's
because I'm basing that off of the fact that he hasn't really. I know the Bloodline feud has been really popular. I have issues with it. I don't think he's the star that he's been made out to be, my opinion.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to prove himself to have some depth as an actor. Whereas I think, you know, like we said, Rock and Cena and Batista have all at times tried to play against type to show versatility. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know what film he's shooting. I know he was in Hobbs and Shaw as a small role, but basically playing a Polynesian, you know, warrior. So we'll see. You know, I'm curious, I'm trying to think if there have been any female wrestlers that have had major roles and outside of WWE films.
I mean, that one with Paige, but that was.
But she wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
Fighting with my family.
Woods and Brad Maddox were co-stars. I should.
Oh, no. Turn the page.
Anyway, sorry about that. But yeah, you're right about that. And that's what I was also kind of wondering, because, you know, they've talked about Becky Lynch recently. Mm-hmm. You know, she's kind of a free agent, I guess, for lack of a better word, unless something has happened over the weekend as we're recording this. But you know, would she go? I know she did some episodes of Young Rock playing Cyndi Lauper, which you know, was what it was. But I'm curious if there is a female on the on either roster or in any aspect of wrestling that could make it on the big screen and be someone that would be. I think Trish Stratus has done some, you know, indie films or some smaller roles in Canada, but I don't know that anyone, and if we're wrong here, let us know who's really kind of stood out. But there is not that Rock, Batista, John Cena on the female side of things. And I think now that women's wrestling is being more recognized and promoted, and they're doing more with it on in all companies, I think that it's just a matter of time before that happens.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now. I don't see any major roles for female wrestlers inside, you know, outside of like WWE films. Or I mean, Trish Stratus was in a movie called Gridlocked and Bail Enforcers, but Gridlocked apparently is on Netflix. So, and yeah, and Becky Lynch was in one of the Marine movies, and then Ronda Rousey, but I don't know if I would consider her a wrestler turned actress, because I think she made most of her films in before she went to WWE. And if you've not seen the Entourage movie, then that's one you can check out. And she has a semi-memorable scene in that one.
Okay. Anything else, Chad, as we wrap up this week's episode?
No, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go with what we've said time and time again, because I see it across all, not just in wrestling, but all aspects of life. Like, we need to find a way to get rid of tribalism. We need to just, you know, understand that there can be more than one perspective, more than one fandom. Let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. And if you have a disagreement, talk to someone instead of just insulting them and insulting whatever they like that you don't. So let's just try to be more civil.
That has to be an internet thing, right? I mean, in the 80s, like I've said a couple weeks ago, I watched everything.
Yeah.
Anything that came on, and I think Adam Copeland said this in an interview recently, like literally on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings, it would go from world class to WWF superstars to UWF. And I sat there and watched all of these shows, and I did not say, well, Hulk Hogan did that. I had my favorites, obviously, but yeah, there was not, I did not criticize my friends. And I think you and I have talked about this growing up. You were more of an NWA JCP guy, and I was more of a WWF guy. I watched both. You watched both, but you know, it's your personal preferences, but I never, you know, and the handful of friends I had as a kid that watched, other than my one friend that was a big Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton fan, who I made fun of. But besides that, and Chad has left the show. He's had enough. Oh, he's back.
Oh, you can't really see him. I got my new micro brawlers.
You know, and that also, I wish that I would have had those, because Marty Jannetty's further back. But here's Shawn Michaels. I did a video on, you know, the Rockers being better than the Rock and Roll Express. I was surprised by the number of people that actually agreed with that. But the ones that did not agree were not, I mean, they were that I said that. So anyway, you know, we can all have our differences. And like Chad said, whether it's wrestling or movies or politics or whatever it is, and seeing more of that again, obviously, with politics, we can have different viewpoints and still be friends and get along and whatever. So
I think it is an internet thing, because again, you have a bigger voice, a bigger reach, whereas if, and you can say things without consequence, without someone calling you, you know, if you and I are having a discussion, if I say something, you're gonna call me out, like you did earlier with the Jack Perry fire spot,
right?
You know, you're gonna be like, oh, what about this? Whereas on the internet, you can just throw it out there and walk away.
Yeah.
You can set it on fire.
Be nice to each other, friends. And again, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, like this podcast, like the YouTube channel, follow along, and let us know what is on your mind as well. We're going to wrap things up this week. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for being a part of the experience. Have a great week, and we will talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.